Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, I pray that the Lord blesses you and ministers to the needs in your life, and invite you to tune in to our daily broadcast, which is heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And for regulars, if you at some point want to rehear a broadcast or you miss one, feel free to go to the unveiledchrist.org website. They are archived there for the last several years, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. Praise God. I know over KFAX sometimes it's a little late for some of you, so praise God. Well, I have been so looking forward to sharing this time together, a very important message that involves every single one of us. We are all in different stages of spiritual development, various stages of growth, various levels of spiritual maturity. However, regardless of where we may be at, whether we're just a young babe in Christ or whether we've walked with the Lord for a number of years, one of the challenges of our Christian lives, especially in the day in which we are living, is to walk in the Spirit. Now, once we have accepted Jesus into our hearts, when we have been born again, when we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came in the flesh, that He died and was buried and rose and is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of God, ever living, the scriptures say, to make intercession for us. And when He left His disciples 2,000 years ago, He comforted their heart. They were so happy when they saw Him as He had promised. They forgot it. They didn't understand a whole lot of things. But the Lord was gracious, and they were so excited to see Him in the flesh. Remember, He came through a door. He said, "Hey, touch me. I'm not a spirit. You know, I have flesh and bone. This is not a spirit that's standing in front of you." And they rejoiced, and they were very grieved when He told them He was going to leave them. But He said, "Be of good cheer. I will not forsake you. I'm sending one just like me, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And of course, they had that marvelous experience on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and baptized them with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that is to be our experience. Where they were born again when Jesus breathed on them. And then He said, "Now you tarry in Jerusalem, and then you'll receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit." So there was like a two-part step in the experience, the salvation experience. We're saved when we believe in our heart. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within our spirit. And then there's a receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to live a power-filled life for the Lord. That's what Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until ye receive power from on high." That's why the Holy Spirit is necessary, that empowering, so we can live victoriously, because we are assailed with so many trials and temptations, and the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful friend. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He shows us things to come. Through the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit can be operating in our lives as He wills and as He chooses. And so one of the most important things for us is to understand the Holy Spirit is available to us so that we can live a victorious Christian life. And so I want to be sharing for the next several days, however long the Lord leads, on how to conquer the deeds of the flesh. Let me share an important scripture with you found in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. This I say, then, this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a very powerful statement because he's telling us that we won't be falling into sin. We won't fulfill the appetites of the carnal nature if we will walk in the Spirit. You might say, well, Sister Glass, how do we do that? What does Paul mean? How do we accomplish this walking in the Spirit? Well, we're going to share how we can do that, but let me read just a little bit further as Paul amplifies what he's saying. For this flesh lusteth against the Spirit. See, there's strife going on, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Then he goes on to describe the works of the flesh. They're manifest, in other words, self-evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. He lists them. And he says, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, see the importance of repetition, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise God. So, what are the works of the flesh? Well, Paul is very specific and clear in listing them, beginning with verse 19. Adultery, that's having sex with someone other than your marriage partner. Fornication, sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is wantonness, lust, or lewdness. Idolatry, having something else as an idol, something else that's more important than serving the Lord God. Variance, which is disagreements. Emulation, which is ambitious rivalry, envious dislike, desire or ambition to equal or surpass. That is such a hallmark of the world, and sometimes, unfortunately, even in Christian circles. Then he goes on to include wrath, strife, seditions. What does that mean? It means stirring up discontent, revolt, or rebellion. That, unfortunately, happens many times in a church split. Heresies, that which is contrary to sound doctrine. Envyings. Envying is a feeling of discontent or ill will because of another's possessions or advantages, whatever it would be. There's a resentment because somehow you're resenting that they have that and you don't. It's a resentful dislike of another who has something that one desires, or desire for some advantage or quality that another person has. Then there's murders, drunkenness, revelings, which are boisterous festivities, celebration, and such like. In other words, there's more. Anything that indulges the carnal nature. And he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a very firm and very strong statement. But lest you fall into condemnation, beloved, understand that it is possible for a Christian to fall into one of these works of the flesh, to sin in any of these areas. But what Paul is talking about is someone who spurns the grace of God and makes this a lifestyle. It's one thing to be tested and tempted and to fall into sin. If we do, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, as John says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Paul is referring to those who trample the grace of God and crucify the Son of God afresh by committing these various acts of carnal lust, if you will, as a lifestyle. They are not convicted of sin, or if the Holy Spirit is, and I believe it's possible to have, be so hardened that the Holy Spirit then ceases to deal with a person and they become reprobate, at which point they don't really care. they are insensitive to the things of God. Now, for those of us who are pressing on and want to be like Jesus, sometimes a lot of immature Christians, and sometimes even mature, we can be full of excuses as to why we yield to the works of the flesh. Sometimes we feel self-righteous or justified. Well, you know, Sister Glass, I could live a good life for God if, and there's always an if I had a good paying job, if I didn't have so much trouble with my family, if my home situation was so difficult, or if I didn't have to work so hard, or if I could just get out of debt, I wouldn't act the way I do. I'm just under so much pressure. Beloved, the Lord has a marvelous way of monitoring the things that we experience. He will not allow us to be tested above what we're able. So regardless of what you're going through right now, if you've committed your heart and your life to the Lord, then He has a reason for why you're going through the things you are. He wants you to respond as His word tells you. Proverbs 6:2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Snared means to catch in a trap or snare. Sometimes we have to be very careful of what we're saying. We cannot make excuses. God is not unjust to allow us to be tested above what we are able. And so the first thing we have to be careful of is that we're not opening a door by the words of our mouth and by the confession of our hearts. Well, my time has just flown by. We're just barely getting into the message. But if you are finding yourself in a situation where you are being tested in this way, I invite you to write. The announcer is going to give our contact information. And if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's because He has a purpose in you writing. You may be doing fine right now, but so often I've gotten letters, "Well, Sister Glass, they didn't really bear witness with me." But then a few days later, it's like, "Oh, now I see what you were talking about." Well, it was the Holy Spirit. I invite you to write. I love you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.